Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
God opened my eyes up and led me over here to Acts, and he said, here's what it is. And I read, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I read the word, and I don't know Greek, but I'm smart enough to read what the Greek authorities say. And that word was dunamis, dynamic, miraculous, miracle-working power shall come upon you. After that, the Holy Ghost has come on. And I thought, whoa, glory to God. Now, you got to remember, whenever I was doing this, I never heard of an amplified Bible, so I didn't know all the extended verse, you know, things. I don't even think they had one. But any, you know, but we were just praying and seeking God. And I began to see that Jesus put great emphasis on being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then we go to the second chapter here in Acts chapter 2. And I got to reading over here because, you see, I want this power in my life. I want this anointing in my life. I want to be a stronger witness than I've ever been. I want to let my light shine. I want to walk in power. I was tired of being beat up and beat down all the time. Are you hearing me? I wanted to walk in the strength of Christ. I knew there had to be more to Christianity than just hanging on and holding out till I get to heaven someday. And I saw the Lord Jesus, and I saw his disciples, and I saw the book of Acts, and I saw all this ministry going on. And I said, Lord, what's in it? This shouldn't be any different today than it was then. If you're the same Jesus, and this is the same gospel, and we're the same church, we're just different faces, but we're the same church. We should have the same power. We should have the same results. We should have the same everything. If not, then God is a respecter of persons because he gave that early group more than he's given us. But God is not a respecter of persons. And so I read in Acts chapter 2, and it says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them cloven or divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I thought, whoa, that's powerful. They began to speak in a language they hadn't been taught. I got to looking it up, speaking in tongues, was speaking in tongues. And it took me a long time because nobody was teaching on it. Nobody was sharing anything. Our denomination, you didn't do that. In fact, our pastor said, never read the book of Acts. It's just a historical book and you don't want to get over in there. Amen. Then they said, read Acts, read 1 Corinthians up to the chapter 11 and then skip to, chapter 12 and go to chapter 13, skip chapter 14, going over 15. Amen. And then some others came along, said this isn't for today, and this isn't for today, and this isn't for today. And by the time they got done, I figured my Bible was about that thick. Because there wasn't about 3 pages worth of stuff you could do in it. And finally, I just decided, you know what? This is wrong. Why would I have this book if God didn't want me to have what's in this book? They told me when I gave my heart to the Lord that the Bible was the owner's manual and it taught you how to live for God. Well, if I've got an owner's manual and I'm not using all the gadgets on my vehicle, it's my fault. Not the manufacturer's fault. Isn't that right? I mean, if they put certain things in your car and you've got an owner's manual that tells you where they're at and how to work them, and you don't use them because you don't think you have them, it's not the manufacturer's fault. They didn't change that car just because you came along a little later. That car's got it. You just have to find out what's there and learn how to use it. Amen? And so I just took the attitude that, if it's in here, God wants me to have it. And then I saw where they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Now, it took me a while to get over into figuring what that was. We just couldn't get it because, you know, I thought for the longest time, if I got filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, you know, I thought the Holy Ghost talked in tongues. And so I figured I'd just open my mouth up somewhere down the line and he'd just start talking. But it didn't happen that way. And then I was this too, I got to thinking about it, you know, Lord, I really want the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the power. I'm not necessarily caring about all that other stuff, but I like to have the power in my life. But then the Lord spoke this to me, and he said this, you can't be picky and choosy. You either get it all or you don't get any. Amen. And so then I said, then I got to reading and I got to studying after some folks. And I heard Brother Hagin say this. He said, as he got to reading this, and you know, we both were in the same denomination, so I was kind of hooking up with him. We were both Southern Baptists at the time, and so I could relate to what he was saying. And he said, when the revelation came of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he read Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, and found out what the speaking in tongues was, it was supernatural utterance given to you by the Holy Spirit that you never learned, but it was given to you by inspiration of God and became a prayer language that you could talk to God with. And so he said, when I began to see what came with that, he said, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if I get the same experience that they did in the book of Acts, then I should get the same results. I should get the same everything. I should have everything. In fact, if I don't get everything they got, then I feel cheated. So I thought, you know, that makes sense. I mean, if they on the day of Pentecost got filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, and I get filled with the Holy Ghost and don't get to speak in tongues, I got cheated. And God, you're not a respecter of persons, so I expect to get it. And somebody says, what'd you do then? Then it took me the next 6 to 8 months to figure out what would happen and what it was that I was trying to get. Aren't you glad you got me? You don't have to wait 6 or 8 months. I can teach you, hallelujah, because I know what it is now. But I can remember finally realizing that speaking in tongues wasn't the Holy Ghost talking in tongues. It was the Holy Ghost helping me to talk in tongues. And then I found out it was for me because down here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the Apostle Peter, after they asked him, what shall we do, after he preached Christ to them and shared the gospel with them, he says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And I said, well, I've done that. I've repented. I've been baptized in water. My sins have been blotted out. Thank God. Now what's supposed to happen? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the promise. There he's talking about the promise again. Jesus called him a promise and Jesus called him a gift. And now Peter's calling him a promise and Peter's calling him a gift. Amen. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When do you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? After you've been born again. You have to be born of the Spirit before you can receive the fullness of the Spirit. And so he says this, for the promise is for you and to your children and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And I thought, praise God, I've been called. God called me out of darkness into light. And Jesus, I've been saved. I've repented of my sins. They've been blotted out. I've been water baptized. Thank God I'm a candidate to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then all of a sudden I got to figuring it out. He said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Boy, that helped me because you see, for a while there, I thought I had to get good enough to get the Holy Ghost. You know, if I pray and study and learn enough of the Bible, then I can receive the Holy Ghost like they did. But then I got to seeing here where every time he talks about it, he calls it the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost. They receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden I realized, you know, you don't earn a gift. You accept a gift. In fact, I've received gifts before and felt unworthy to take them. But I took them anyway. Later on, I was certainly glad I took it. Praise God. Amen. The gift is given at the discretion of the giver. And God says the only thing you need to be qualified to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit to be endued with power so you can be a greater witness is you need to be have your sins remitted. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and follow Him. Baptism is simply you dying with Christ and being raised up with Christ. You've committed your heart to Christ. And then you'll receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and be endued with power from on high, just like they did in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Now, look over in Acts chapter 10. Then I got to looking, you know, and I thought, well, wonder if anybody besides that group on the day of Pentecost got this. And I looked over here in Acts chapter 10, and I found some Gentiles. Hallelujah. Found some people that were, you know, not of Jewish descent. And I got to reading about how Cornelius, he was praying, giving, and his alms came up before God. And God sent an angel down and said, listen, send over here and get Peter, Simon Peter, come over and preach the gospel to you. And he'll show you what you need to do. Because this man was a good man. He wanted to live for God. He just didn't know how. And so God told him, send an angel down. Somebody says, well, why didn't the angel just tell him how to get saved? Because God didn't commission angels to preach the gospel. He commissioned you and me to preach the gospel. Acts 1:8 doesn't say that angels receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost so they can witness. The Bible says that believers receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost so you can be the witness. The Great Commission is given to the church, not to the angels. Amen? And so Peter had to come and preach this gospel. And as he's preaching, he gets down to the place where he talks about Jesus was raised up. And he gets the gospel. And they hear enough because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you've got to hear this gospel to get saved. Amen? So they finally hear enough. In verse 43, he said this to him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Man, when they heard that, woo, here's how I get saved. Here's how I get my sins blotted out. I can believe on the name of Jesus and believe that he did what God sent him to do. And Cornelius, then, without ever receiving an invitation, they all, his whole house, they're having a home meeting, praise God. And they all just went ahead at one time, just accepted Jesus as Lord. Praise God. Now what happens next is amazing. While Peter was still preaching. See, sometimes these preachers don't know when to quieten down. Be quiet. He's still preaching. Notice that while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Notice they're hearing the word. They're not checked out. They're listening. They're hearing. They're concentrated. They're wanting to hear how to get this. That's why they're there. And it says, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Why? Because the gift. Everybody say the gift. Yeah. Well, what's the gift? Of the Holy Spirit. Notice he's not talking about the new birth. Now they've already been born again. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The gift comes from the Father to his children. Notice what it says here. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they said, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. How'd they know that the Holy Ghost was poured out upon them? How'd they know the Holy Ghost came on them just like he did on them the day of Pentecost? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Ooh, hallelujah. They got filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues just like that bunch in Acts chapter 2 did. Amen? Same experience. In fact, it goes on and says, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who receive the Holy Spirit just like we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and then they asked him to stay a few days. Notice here, these folks got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, then got baptized.
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia, 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.